Welcome, welcome. I'm Bill Tinker, and you're listening to Dialysis Talk on Blog Talk Radio, where we discuss the healthcare issues of dialysis patients along with other present-day healthcare issues. Dialysis Talk is brought to you by dialysis advocates. The information and opinions expressed by our guests are theirs alone and do not reflect the opinion of Dialysis Talk or dialysis advocates. We have a great show lined up for you tonight, and with that, let's turn it over to tonight's host.
Well, good evening. This is Bill Tinker again. Our regular host, Carol Edwards, is off ill this evening, so I'm going to fill in for her. She does a fantastic job for us, and we wish her a quick recovery. So tonight we're going to be discussing some of the things that have been going on with dialysis advocates here lately. We just returned from a six-day trip to New York, where we were fortunate enough to meet with some individuals who have a great interest in making changes within the dialysis industry, in particular the area of patient care and the training of our dialysis technicians. The possibility of going to New York was greatly helped by our person who has given us some funds, David Barbetta, and he's allowed us to further the things that we would like to do with dialysis advocates. So just to give you an idea of what we're going to be doing here in the future is that dialysis advocates will shortly become dialysisadvocates.org and not .com. But if you still go to the old website, you'll be forwarded to our new website. One of the other things that we're going to be doing here is that we're forming a 501(c). For the last 16 years, we have totally handled all the funding, everything else for dialysis through our own personal accounts. My wife and I have done this. And as in order to grow, we eventually have to have some funding for someone else. And so we've been given some startup money, and we're going to be doing some 501(c)s. That would allow us to take donations, which we've never taken before. Obviously, if you go to a lot of the healthcare websites, you'll always see that there are ads on the side, and a lot of these come from the industries that are supporting those. Unfortunately, our main thrust is that we are taking care of patients who have been harmed by the industry, and so it would be a conflict of interest for us to take any funds from those companies at this time and through what our efforts. So with a little bit of seed money, we're going to be able to make some changes here to our website. Our website is probably going to be becoming more patient and technician-oriented from what it is right now. What we have in our present form is that it's more towards maybe a legal area. So in the future, what we're going to do is we're going to try to have a page on our website, which is dialysisadvocates.com. And that website is going to have more of pages that are due for or due with the actual patients. So patients are going to be able to possibly have one page that I'm thinking of as a tell us your story. So where patients can go in anonymously if they want, explain, write up their story. We'll take a look at it, and we'll post those stories. Also, same thing with technicians. You know, a lot of times the technicians are aware of what's going on in a clinic, but for their own job safety or keeping their job, they're not able to actually go to and say something about it. Sometimes when they do mention something, they find themselves on the street. So this is going to give the technicians, the people that work in healthcare, an opportunity to express themselves and explain what's going on, again, anonymously. Everything that we do at Dialysis Advocates has a strict amount of security. We never share email addresses, email names, or any of the information we have. We have strict confidentiality, and that's the only way we can do it. So we're also going to come up with a 1-800 number, which is going to be a complaint line for both patients and technicians. A lot of times technicians will see something going on in a clinic and would report it as long as they can remain anonymous. So that's another thing that we'll be doing here. So when all we were in New York, we were able to meet with some people in the legal area. We were able to meet with some people that are going along with the live organ donor program. That's a very interesting area that's coming on down now, where they're trying to get more and more people to donate an organ rather than having to harvest organs from cadavers. The longevity or the ability of the organ to survive in the recipient is much stronger, obviously, with a living organ rather than one being taken from a donor. Taken from a cadaver. So that's a program that's going on. We're trying to lend our support to that area. And we met some interesting people that do that. We met a young man who donated his kidney just because he felt like it was the right thing to do. And he was not, didn't know the person that he gave it to. It wasn't a family member or anything like that. And he has since met the person that he gave his kidney to. And that's a very wonderful thing for someone to do like that. So we have, again, we're going to be supporting some of the areas of the kidney donor system. We also were able to meet with Gordon Skinner. Gordon Skinner is a filmographer, and he is in the process of filming a documentary. At the present name of that is Dialysis Diaries. And what this is doing is going around and filming different individuals within the dialysis industry and healthcare, and also he's going around to different countries. So there's a lot of difference between how dialysis is handled in the United States and how it's handled in Canada and Germany and other countries. The United States has one of the lower long-term survival rates of other countries, when at one time we had one of the highest. So Gordon interviewed myself and Arlene Mullen Tinker. We're both founders of DialysisAdvocates.com, and that was nice to be able to tell our story, and we'll see how that fits in the film. Now, there's a lot of other things that are going on in the industry, a lot of things that we're trying to do for dialysis patients worldwide and mostly here in the United States. But it's a effort that has to be taken by both the industry, the technicians, and mostly and absolutely by the patients. Patients need to take responsibility for their own care. Patients need to be able to document what's going on with their care, to be able to question what's going on with their care. And what we have found over the period of time, the last 16 years of talking to patients, we find out that there's a lack of information that is given to patients when they become a first-time dialysis patient. So I've asked a lot of patients, when you first started out as a dialysis patient and you were told that you were going to be on dialysis for probably the rest of your life, what information was given to you? Did you understand the process? And I would have to unfortunately say that most of the time that information was lacking. The individual basically got into the dialysis process not understanding what was going on, not understanding all of the ramifications and the physiological and the psychological things that would be going on with them during this period of time. So the fact that they don't know what's going on, how the effect's going to affect them, the nausea, the cramping, some of the things that are going on there, it's rather scary to a person for those first few years. We've also talked to technicians, and we have asked the technicians to say, well, what kind of training have you gotten, not as far as the machines go and how that's done, but what kind of training have you gotten as far as what is going on with the patient at their personal basis? Do you understand that the physiological and the psychological things that they're going to be going through. And a lot of times the technicians have not had that training. They've had the trainings on, you know, here, start the machine, clean the machine, do all the mechanical stuff. But they've not had much training in the patient-technician relationship and what the patient's going to be going through. A lot of times when patients are going through dialysis, there's a imbalance of electrolytes and other chemicals within their system. This can cause the patient to get rather woozy, get feeling out of sorts, not having a bad reaction, or just not quite there. And sometimes the technicians would take this as the patient being combative, and they get into a situation where it becomes a control issue between the two individuals, both the patient and the technician. And a lot of times these things get into being turned into a problem of a behavioral contract or a report that the patient has a behavioral problem. And we've run into this where we're getting a tremendous amount of terminations lately. The problem with that is that the terminations are being terminated for a lot of times we find for unjust reasons. One way when they do that is that they'll turn a patient loose. They used to use a different type of term, and that term was discharge. But to the layman and the non-medical person, when we say discharge, myself included, I would always figure, well, the person's well, they're being discharged from the hospital, they no longer need any medical attention. But when you discharge a person, and as we know, it's a terminate, you're terminating them from their dialysis care. You're no longer going to be giving them dialysis. And what happens, what we're finding now, is that we have a lot of patients who are blackballed within a group. So you have a large for-profit company in a particular area. One was Detroit that we were in several years ago, and they owned all of the dialysis clinics within the greater Detroit area. So we had a patient who was terminated from there, but he was also blackballed by all of the other units. And the units would say, well, we'll take this person, then they'll call the other one that he was terminated from and say, why was the person terminated? And all they would say was behavioral. The patients are not allowed to see their records. They're not allowed to face their accusers. They're not allowed to be able to find out what the case is. So when they're terminated from care, they're not allowed to be dialyzed. And what they'll tell the patient is, well, you can go to an ER. So if you go to an emergency room, but if it's been 3 days since you had your last dialysis and you're ready to be dialyzed the third day, you go to the ER, they're going to take your potassium levels and check to see. And the ER is going to turn the patient down because their potassium level has not reached the critical number that they use before they'll go ahead and dialyze a patient. So the patient has to stay and go through the physiological changes of waiting for their potassium to get to that magic number. So this gets to the point where the patient is actually being harmed in our way of having to wait to meet a number where they can be dialyzed. In the meantime, they're still blackballed from other clinics within their area. Sometimes patients have to travel 50 miles, 75 miles, or even further to be dialyzed. This isn't the way we treat patients in America. So that's another thing that we're going to be fighting. We're also going to be trying to change the way, come up with a set of standards across the nation for the training of technicians, for the care of people. So that's what we're doing right now. So if anybody's got any information or the things they would like to share with us, You're welcome to come on to the show and talk to us. In the meantime, we're going to talk about some of the things that are going on here. So, in the meantime, I'm going to take a short break. I'll be right back to you here, and so it'll give about 5 minutes here, and we'll be back.
What is going on here?